bubble. Hello and welcome to Burst the Bubble. You're listening to Chem FM with me, Chris Smoten.
And me, Michael Quintario.
This is take two of Burst the Bubble after an abortive start just now. We got about 7 minutes into the show, that's why we're 7 minutes late, before realising that we were in fact broadcasting into the empty air of a connector attached to nothing. So this is the more refined. See if you can tell where we run off the end of the replay and into the real deal. That's just the kind of professional conduct you can expect from Burst the Bubble.
Yeah, but having been delayed half an hour in the first place due to training exercises,
then my incompetence fades into nothing. It's brilliant.
Okay, so we're going to be here for about an hour now.
It's like if you spilled the milk, but then you noticed the fridge was on fire due to some idiot having set it on fire just for you. See, it's an incompetence thing. Whatever.
Getting on.
This is Burst the Bubble. We talk about silly news.
And yes, we basically then be silly about things tenuously related to the news.
Exactly. First on the silliness stop. First stop on the first stop on the silliness train. I'd know, first act at the silliness rodeo. This week,
first lecture at the Salinas University,
first something at the Salinas something or other is.
I think you've done that now. It's an animal interest story to start off with.
Yes,
cute animal in distress.
Let's stop at cute animal annex, a station just outside Chipinunga. This is okay. Really, now this is a story about a swan, and specifically about a train driver, saviour of said swan. It would appear that this swan was on the tracks somewhere in Scotland. I used to know the location and I can't remember anymore.
Near Rosyth Station.
Near Rosyth Station, there we go. Yes, good old Rosyth. Excellent football
team. On the Fife Circle train.
Yes.
Is that train working anymore?
If it just goes around in circles, I mean, why bother? Maybe it's for fun. You've got to kill an afternoon, why not get on the Fife Circle train? The circle's actually about 6 feet in diameter. It just goes round and round. Anyway, a swan walks onto that preposterous railway.
Sounds like a joke. A swan walks onto a railway.
Onto a preposterous railway. and the vicar and the bishop show up.
And the barman says, like, oh, you can break my arm, you know.
Oh, dear. Anyway, back in the real world, the swan was on the tracks, and the train driver successfully stopped his train, took the swan aboard.
Because it had crash-landed. It wasn't just there.
Because, it had crash-landed, and put it in first class, giving it better accommodation than all the human passengers, and took it to the Scottish Society for the Protection of... the Protection of Cruelty to Animals is not something we ever want to do. The Scottish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. I thought this story taught us a lot. First of all, that swans can crash land, which was I take issue with the idea that a swan can crash at all. Crash is a sort of a metallic groaning noise. Crash is the sound that you get when you drop your toaster.
Oh, a cymbal makes.
Yes, or a cymbal, or if you hit a toaster with a cymbal, or vice versa. You should probably hit a cymbal with a toaster. A cymbal is designed to be mounted in place, and a toaster can be used as a beater in an emergency. Anyway. Yes, the point is that swans hitting things don't make a crashing sound. Swans hitting things make a sort of a thump, a flomp. They make that cartoon sound that Wile E. Coyote makes when he hits the ground.
Are you seriously suggesting you're complaining about this news story because they haven't got the onomatopoeia right?
Yes. I want the BBC to get its... You do not do English.
I did English. GCSE. I can remember onomatopoeia. I think you should be impressed.
I speak English, although you wouldn't believe it listening to this show. Anyway. The point is, yes, I want my BBC to have accurate cartoon sounds. When my news stories involve objects colliding with other ones, I want a reasonable description of what happened. You know, the day that I hear that Santa Claus has crashed into Big Ben, the bell, not the tower, I want to hear that he made a bong rather than a crash, because we all know that Big Ben would give a good resonating tone when Santa Claus hit it.
You want it to be described as a bong landing. That sounds like something that you could get arrested for.
You certainly could. Landing on a bong is very difficult. Landing with a bong, yes, easier. Takes the pain away. Santa Claus himself.
Not that we condone any use of...
And especially not Santa Claus.
any of anything for other than medicinal purposes.
But yes, do we condone that?
if a doctor prescribes it, yes.
I have absolutely no idea where the law sits on the matter. So let's just dance across. See, I don't know where the legal fault line is, so I can't dance across it. I might be dancing across two pieces of ground which are both on the wrong side, or maybe both on the right side. That would just look silly.
Anyway, yes. Yeah, so the thing that I like most about this story is the quote from one of the members of the Scottish Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, who said, "It will have crash landed and wouldn't have realised it was on train tracks because of the snow. Whereas I would have thought it wouldn't have realised it was on the train tracks because it's a swan."
Yep. It doesn't understand that it's on train tracks because swans don't understand institutionalised transport. You know, they just haven't clubbed together and invented the massive metal swan that they can all hang around in and sort of sip cocktails.
Yeah, I just really wonder if we'd evolved from swans rather than like rodents and apes. I'm sure there's rodents in there somewhere,
but they're probably in there somewhere.
Eventually, before the apes.
Odds on.
But I'm sure we'd have invented like chuck stops for flying rather than train journeys.
Yeah, yeah, we'd have found out how to make a welcome break hover, and we'd all be sitting there having rubbish chips and sort of going, "Technology is marvellous, but by the gods, if only they could cook a potato." Because we'd really be eating horrible greasy millet, because we'd be swan descendants. See, you shouldn't feed the swans chips. Oh no!
And he says, as we said a few episodes back, you should be giving the swans a balanced diet and not just white bread.
Yeah,
according to Elf and Safety. Apparently, which you can distinguish
by its high visibility.
High visibility.
If you can see it, it's safe.
You saw the swan, but it wasn't safe. It just crash landed.
You know, I lost my job at the fire service for a very similar reason.
the swan and thwomp landed on the train tracks and very definitely wasn't safe.
So I just noticed you were complying with my principles on onomatopoeia. Kudos to you, sir. A job at the BBC for you. I think the summary of this story, because if you read between the lines here, or if you actually read the text, if you read between the lines, it's just white space. If you read the text, you'll see that that it wasn't really that the swan was about to be run over. Rather, there was a train going towards it, and the driver went, "Ooh dear, a swan!" Hit the brakes. But as we all know, if you hit the brakes in a train, then you slow down from like 60 to maybe 55 or so, and went past the swan.
All those times that I've been waiting on a station for the train to stop, and they've applied the brakes, and it's carried on going at 55 miles per hour.
But
they've got a perpetual motion machine on them that won't go slower than that.
But ultimately, what really happened here is a swan avoided a train by virtue of going, "Oh, look, a train. Fortunately, it's a British train, and therefore travelling at 50 miles an hour, I shall step calmly to the side with a debonair swan-like attitude," and successfully avoided being run down. So what we really have here is that a train driver has kidnapped a swan. If this was Burst the Bubble for Swans, we'd be utterly outraged by what's going on.
Yeah, it's just like going there, you kind of like, slightly rewrote history to change kidnap swan to man saves swan in honourable fashion, delaying train full of customers potentially, or possibly not, given where it was, the Fife Circle. I don't know whether people like to go around Fife a lot.
They like to go around that very particular circle a whole lot. Yeah,
and he gave it a first class carriage all to itself. Because they can break your arm, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's actually treating this one slightly better than his human passengers there. So, if you want to get into first class, drop over as one.
or threaten to break people's arms if you don't have a carriage to yourself.
Make sure you do actually dodge the train, though. A lot of people have made that mistake.
Oh, dear. So, if you've got any other tips for riding trains, feeding swans,
if you want to share your experiences of the Fife Circle,
you can email us studio@camfm.co.uk, or you can go onto our website www.camfm.co.uk and click on the web form there and send us a message that way.
Indeed, get in touch. We're going to be back and talking about more of the frivolous news of the week in about 5 minutes' time. But first, here's some music.
On air, online, and across Cambridge.
Your station,
your Cam FM.
Hello and welcome back to Cam FM. You're listening to Burst the Bubble. I'm Michael Quintario.
And I'm Chris Smoten. And you're listening to a silly show about news.
So we're moving on to a couple of stories demonstrating differing attitudes towards humble chewing gum.
But it's more interesting than it sounds, so stick around.
So we've got, firstly, we've got in Spain, they have had a full cabinet meeting to discuss the problem that Spanish chewing gum is too sticky.
Yeah, so problem number one, the Spanish government has nothing to do. But let's let what's technically speaking a racial slur slide. Technically, it's all right, because they're in Europe. Why don't you explain in a bit more detail what the honourable gents of Spain discovered?
So they've said that it's costing them more than £85,000 a year, well, more than €100,000, because that's what they use there, to clean up to 1,800 bits of gum a day from Barcelona's city streets.
Well, that sounds about right. Well, it should be pointed out it is costing them hundreds of millions of pounds a year to, you know, keep the population fed and watered. So, you know...
It's one of those things where it's kind of like, okay, it's costing you money, but...
They had some sort of story to cover up there, basically. You know, they needed to go, like, assassinate, you know, Miguel the Informer. And so they needed a story they could distract people with. And this is the best they could come up with, which tells us that the Spanish Ministry of Propaganda also has nothing to do.
The solution is to employ a copolymer of vinyl acetate and vinyl lauryl as a basis for Spanish gum. That's a technical details that we would like to provide in this show, but lab animals,
not that particular one. We like to provide that particular one accompanying every story.
Lab animal studies, though, have found long-term exposure to vinyl acetate can cause a carcinogenic response, said the US-based Vinyl Acetate Council. Vinyl Acetate Council. Do all chemicals get a council?
Get one of their own. Yeah,
yeah. we've got the hydrogen council, the helium council, the sugar council, the fructose and glucose.
There probably is a sugar council, but yes, the hydrogen council has quite a lot less to do. They just sort of sit around and think morosely about Hindenburg, sort of go, well, still happened. Still no market for the damn stuff.
The helium council is particularly inert.
Oh.
That's a joke for all of the chemists who are out there listening to the show.
I think joke is stretching the term, but yes, it's certainly an utterance for all the chemists. Gum is actually horrifying stuff. I saw a TV show this week that made its own gum. And it very much was just a matter of sort of going, right, here's some horrible inert plastics that just sort of, well, that just taste like you're chewing on a piece of packaging. Now we're going to melt all of those and stick a bit of mint oil in. That really is it. It really is just a nom nom, vulcanized.
But just effectively around the corner in Europe, they've got a slightly different take on gum, where a Bavarian primary school is getting all of its children to chew gum during lessons and break times to improve concentration.
It's certainly going to at least keep them quiet, which is probably what they're looking for.
Yeah, when I first heard that, I think that's something I overlooked, actually. When I first heard this, what I thought was that they were actually... Just going for increasing how much they look like they're concentrating, when actually what all they're thinking is, this gum is stuck behind my left tooth. My back left tooth, rather than just having two teeth.
That's still not nearly specific enough. You've elevated humankind to having four teeth, but you're going to have to keep on going.
My lower third from the left, back tooth.
That's more like it. Accurate dentistry on Chem FM. Anyway, yes, I think with, so there's a weird piece of preposterous neuroscience here, where one of the spokesmen for the Bavarian school system has said, oh yes, it stimulates a region of the brain that makes you concentrate, which is another way of saying it makes you concentrate, now shut up with your questions. Yes, it makes you concentrate, but it makes you concentrate on the gum. It makes you concentrate on going, food. What's this guy waffling on about? Oh, I don't care.
This is obviously data that we have come across through years of scientific studies.
Obviously, yes.
Yeah, so we would never just present you with something which is blatantly our own opinion and founded on very little thought. Basically, I was reading the story and thinking, for a little bit. Obviously, we'd never do that.
All right, so obviously it does stimulate a part of the brain that makes you concentrate, because you ended up concentrating.
Well
and,
done.
So it's pretty much that or the immortal soul, and let's not get into that. But...
Well, I like your fact that the head teacher at the primary school, the Volksenswand primary school in Bavaria, has said that he's decided to introduce active gum chewing because children need to come to school without any fear and to feel contentment. I think he's got a bit of an odd philosophy on schools there.
That is sort of, yes.
I think children...
Human kindness? No.
Children need to come to school.
Let them have gum.
That's how they feel contentment. They might be getting bullied. They might be falling behind in their math lesson.
But actually, all those problems are soluble with gum. For example, if you're being bullied, get a whole load of gum and stick it in the guy's face. Before you find he'll die. maths? I'm sure you could solve maths with gum. If I have one piece of... Ah, no, of course, gum defies mathematics. If I have two pieces of gum and then I add three pieces of gum, you have one piece of gum. That'll actually harm maths.
I like the fact that some people have gone, oh, no, this might promote antisocial behaviour, but the head teacher has gone, oh, no, they've got certain rules. The children have made a firm agreement with teachers that they will keep their mouth shut closed while chewing unless they want to speak.
Well, fair do. I hope they'd do that as a general principle. Unless it's, Hans the idiot sat around with mouth agape the entire time as a series of flies sort of... just engulfing insects.
What? Flies engulfing insects?
No. He himself was engulfed. He was like a basking shark, sort of running around his Bavarian schoolroom, keeping the place free of insects.
the other thing that the other group of people who might be chewing gum at the same time, because they've been supplied with free gum since the First World War, is soldiers of the U.S. Army. Initially, who were given it due to the belief it boosts soldiers' concentration and helps with stress relief. I don't know about you. If I'm being attacked by someone, I'd want more than a little bit of chewing gum for comfort.
Also, this does mean the next big war the U.S. infantry is involved in, and let's assume without loss of generality that it's the next invasion of Germany, right? And the German troops will basically know that what they need to do is to come up behind the U.S. infantry and go boo, at which point they'll all inhale their gum and die. It's terrible vulnerability. If you want to improve concentration, what you should do is make gum out of something which requires more concentration to eat. Like, for example, let's say you could embed in it lots of identical little chunks. Some of them, chocolate. Everybody likes chocolate. Some of them, poison. Okay, so you're going to be sat there sort of going,
I was with you.
Chocolate. Ooh, that's a poison one.
I was with you up until the poison, to be honest.
It's going to be like a Rubik's Cube you can solve with your tongue, and the penalty for not solving it is death.
And you get people like racing to solve it in 10 seconds. Like, can you solve this bit of gum? Well, I'm the world record holder for
if I don't,
solving.
I'll die. So yes, I do. It'd solve the Spaniards' problem as well, because very few people will chew a product that kills you. I think that's something history has taught us.
There's a bit of a coda to this story in that people have gone, well, there might be a lot of used chewing gum which might mess up our streets and we'll have to clean it up again.
Oh, no. Well, if it's that durable, let it pave the streets.
Yeah.
Let's have everybody's... the gum will just form layers and layers and layers, and we'll just find that this massively durable, unremovable surface is, in fact, slightly better than tarmac.
And it'll be bouncy, surely.
When old people fall down, they'll go boing, and they'll be, like, back upright.
Onomatopoeia at work again.
Yeah. Old people hitting a surface of gum go doing and survive without injury, which is obviously untrue, of swans hitting railway lines.
So if you've got any comments as to other useful ideas for the German education system, or what the Spanish government cabinet should really be doing with their time, you can email us studio@camfm.co.uk or from the website www.camfm.co.uk and clicking on the web form.
We'll be back talking about more silly news in about 5 minutes' time. Hello and welcome back to Burst the Bubble. You're listening to Cam FM and more specifically Burst the Bubble, a song about silly news type stuff.
That was Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana.
It certainly was, yes. Probably should have said that first. All right then. Let's talk about some more news.
This section, the theme is snow.
Oh, hang on. I figured out a link, right? Here's how it would have gone. I'd thought about it before.
Go on then.
Would be Nirvana. They were notoriously dreary. You know what would have cheered them up? Snow!
Fish. That's the worst link ever.
Fish?
I don't know, I find it
fish
quite...
Fish is the worst answer ever.
Fish in a tank is quite soothing.
Fish wouldn't... Nirvana would not have been cheered up by fish. Maybe Kurt Cobain be with us today, if only it were for fish. Whereas snow, that's reasonable. Anyway,
okay. So
discourage
got,
my links.
The other... another theme that we've got going on partway through this link is people being a bit stupid. The first one is a suspected burglar. I'm impressed. When you've heard the rest of this story, you'll be impressed that it's still a suspected burglar. It seems, perhaps.
Yeah, okay.
A suspected burglar was arrested by police after they were followed footprints in the snow. A homeowner saw a bicycle being stolen. Police noticed footprints and followed them before finding a man cowering under a frozen hedge.
Yeah, I mean, you say we'd be impressed that he's still a suspected burglar. I'm suspect that this man can, you know, speak and move his arms. Because, quite frankly, if you're stupid enough to do that, there's very few crimes where you can really follow, you know, you can sort of follow the guy to the, you can follow the trail of evidence, as it were. You know, maybe if you stole a floor buffer and it was still on as you ran down the street and you just follow the shiny pavement.
Or you nicked some paint and you accidentally got it over you when you were stealing it, and you could follow the paint drips, and then even then at the end you could also then be caught red-handed.
You'd stolen maybe a molting owl. You find what is strictly speaking bits of owl.
You kidnapped Hansel and Gretel.
No, forget that. That's just horrible.
You kidnapped Hansel and Gretel.
What would Hansel and Gretel leave behind?
Well, breadcrumbs. You don't remember the story.
I clearly can't. No, I thought that story ended with Hansel and Gretel being eaten.
They put the witch into the oven in the end.
Oh, okay.
But it started with them leaving trails of breadcrumbs.
I've heard the revisionist bit put about by witches. where they vanquish Hansel and Gretel and successfully have dinner.
I mean, we know that this is still a suspected burglar because the trial hasn't gone on, and so obviously we hope that the trial will take into account the available evidence and pass what they feel to be the correct judgment.
I like the fact that so clearly he realised at some point his foolish mistake, and then he decided, I'm going to hide in a bush. So there's just a line, as though the police are going to sort of go, footstep, bush. Bushes aren't humans. It must have been the bush.
But this bush is God's shoes.
The bushes are attempting to evolve. They're trying to climb the evolutionary ladder. They've invented burglary.
Historically, I believe
get the roundup.
Historically, I believe that various animals have been tried and convicted of crimes and like sentenced to death or whatever.
Really?
Yes.
I'm presuming mostly biting somebody in the ass.
Yeah, or theft.
Okay. No, fair enough.
But mostly attacking people. But moving from one of those news stories to another, we've got another theft.
You disparage my links, and you go for moving from one of those news stories to another.
One's about snow and theft. Snow and theft is linked.
All right. I
stupidity.
I stand by the Nirvana thing, but carry on. Stupid snow, go.
A woman who dialed 999 as apparently was doing so to report the theft. That's a different joke. The theft of a snowman from outside her house. She's concerned because she used pound coins for its eyes and teaspoons for its arms.
Mm-hmm. And teaspoons are actually valid currency in certain states, so that's quite a heavy loss.
But Kent Police said that officers had given her advice on real 999 emergencies. It's like,
I hope it was in quite some depth, you know, it was just sat there sort of going, okay, right, imagine if I'd nicked your lawnmower, That's just about a 999.
Provided that I'm actively nicking your lawnmower right now. If your lawnmower has been nicked, on the other hand, I can just imagine this sitting down for a while, but there are some brilliant, absolutely brilliant lines. I haven't been out to check in on him for 5 hours, but I went outside for a fag and he's gone. That implies that she was going out to check anyway.
Well, it's almost like the snowman was bait of some kind, that she should have built it, and then she was waiting for the rascally kids to come and nick it, and she kept on sort of going, no, still there, still there. Oh, I missed them. I'm not sure what she was... Presumably she was planning to capture herself some rascally kids, so she'd probably be a little bit worried about that.
It ain't a nice road, but at the end of the day, you don't expect someone to nick a snowman, you know what I mean?
I like to imagine that perhaps, you know, maybe the kid maybe the kids going past were just lazy. You know, they were sort of like, we were going to build a snowman, but there's one sat there ready made. Nobody watching it. Let's just pinch that one and say we did. we can take photos, put them on Facebook. Everybody will believe we had a good time,
because that's what's important in this day and age: believing that you had a good time. It doesn't matter if you can't remember what you did last night because you're out of it.
Last night, I actually elaborately forged a party. it was actually just me on my own in my room, but I had like cardboard cutouts of people, and sort of, you know, set us up in poses as though we were having sort of, you know, in-depth conversations, you know, dancing around a bit.
And he believed that he had a good time, which is what really matters.
I made up a scene in which there was a bit of an ugly incident where one of the cardboard cutouts got a bit drunk, and we had to escort him out of the building. There's a cardboard cutout police officer sort of, you know, rumbly escorting him away, sort of tut-tutting. you got to do that for veracity.
I think it's entirely possible that actually the people have just actually nicked, rather than the snowman, the pound coins from the snowman, the teaspoons from the snowman, and just knocked over the snowman. How would you know that the snow surrounding... It's not like if someone had a person or an animal had been injured, where you can go, yes, this is obviously bits of bits of animal, bits of person.
as so often comes up, you know, Poirot comes along and goes, it's a person. I have this case in the bag.
and then you follow the bloody bits of people till you find the person who did it cowering underneath a bush.
And Pharaoh goes, the bush. It cannot maim the humans.
And Pharaoh has to call everyone in and going, I have brought you all here. And he has a big denouement speech when he goes, and first I thought it was the people who own the thing doing some sort of insurance fraud, but the trail leading to the bush soon made me think something
else. The plant life is taking on the humans. We must kill them all. Poirot here is gradually becoming German as his attitude becomes more evil.
What are you doing there? I don't know. But no, I just like the fact that the key point that I was trying to get across was you can't run a DNA test on the snow.
This is true, but you could draw some conclusions from there being a massive heap of snow. Because when you knock over a snowman, it doesn't just sort of go, pfft, you know, the universe doesn't sort of go, snow and snow, that makes more snow, and then it just vanishes. Yeah, you would see very much a big heap of snow, and you'd be able to tell the difference between somebody nicking it and somebody just nicking the pounds, because, yeah.
Oh, no, you could spread it out a bit. They could put a little bit of effort into it.
They knocked it over and then they disguised it as theft.
Disguised it as snowman theft rather than just bits of snowman theft.
Just pound theft.
Yeah, if they have stolen something, they've not got very much out of it, have they? £2 and a couple of teaspoons.
It seems like by the same logic, you might sort of nick somebody's wallet and then go... They're going to open their desk drawer and go, where's my wallet? I'll take the desk as well. Then that can't happen.
Why not steal the house?
It'll take them a few layers of reasoning before they go, my desk is gone. My child was in the lower left drawer.
What?
And then that'll distract them from the wallet. I suppose the equivalent metaphor here would be the teaspoons. They'd have gone, my snowman's gone. My antique teaspoons.
Antique teaspoons.
Yeah, yeah. Currency in Liechtenstein, as I mentioned earlier. Pay attention. One teaspoon equals £2, or a bread roll.
And there's a quick other one. A snow has forced an 8-day lock-in at a pub in Kirkby Moorside.
Ah, yes. It's funny how in these sort of situations, people always end up trapped in the pub, isn't it? It's just, you know... it was just impossible to escape. There's no way we could get away from this adequate supply of food and drink.
Yeah, we never hear about someone getting an 8-day lock-in in, a leisure centre.
Yeah, yeah, it's, you know, they all stumble out a week later going, by God, we're good at badminton now. nobody ever stumbles out of the library and goes, I know calculus like never before.
Calculus from the
it's
library?
It's incredible. Yeah, there must be books on calculus in the library. What kind of libraries have you been frequenting?
I don't know. But it was like, I'm sure you
art
could find
student libraries.
I'm sure you could have come up with something that just screamed library more than calculus.
A library. That screams library. Oh, whatever.
But the chef admitted that he'd been talking to himself during the enforced lock-in, so it wasn't all fun and games. he said at first the staff all aged under 25 got stuck into the drinks, but on the third day they eased off.
I'm glad that sentence ended that way, because I thought he was going to say at first the staff all aged, but then we stopped. And I don't know, I mean, we fell into some sort of vortex in time. We were locked in there in 1972. I'm very glad you guys are gone getters, although to be honest I wish you'd left us there till the proper future. Because if you've been frozen in 1972, you wouldn't be particularly impressed by the present day.
I'm quite impressed by the fact that they're talking to themselves when they're saying, also, we have wireless internet here and the television works, so we've been fine.
Food and water, we actually ran out of at the very beginning, this morning kept us together.
It just said, the beer did not run out and there was plenty of food at the inn.
No. Those are metaphors for this morning and QI. QI was the beer.
And they're obviously they're watching on
because it causes mental regression. I don't know. Try having a QI binge and see if you experience symptoms similar to drunkenness.
The government recommends no more than 2 episodes of QI per day,
but that's just to keep the masses suppressed, you know.
So there you go, that's that's if you've got any of your own snow stories, and if you feel any of them can stand up to such white heights as this, white peaks, mountainous peach, mountain peach, mountainous peaks.
If you have a mountainous peach,
we'd also like you to get in touch.
Dispatch it immediately to your nearest laboratory, where the forces of science will be fascinated to know.
Just generally get in touch with us, studio@camfm.co.uk, or using the web form www.camfm.co.uk.
We'll be back talking about some more silly news in just a minute. 97.2
camfm.co.uk. On air and online, you're Cam FM.
Welcome back to Burst the Bubble. You're listening to Cam FM. This is a story about... this is a show about silly news.
And that was Girls and Boys by Blur.
Yes, it was. I'll mention that one time. All right.
Yes. We're going to do a roundup of some more of the... a quick roundup of some more of the silly stories rather than going in-depth. We are like the news. We go in-depth and give you comments and analysis on some stories, whereas others we just skim over and claim they're less important.
Yeah, I think last week we christened this the Anthology of Marginal Interest. keep listening anyway.
Okay, so first one is in the entertainment section. There's a Spider-Man musical, which is the most expensive show to be staged on Broadway, and they had a preview performance in which Spider-Man got left dangling.
Yeah, and to be honest, I appreciate this. As a practicing Spider-Man, I'm pleased to find that the trials and tribulations that beset my fellow Spider-Men on a day-to-day basis are being well represented. I mean, just the other day I was attempting to web-sling my way around the bottom of the Golden Gate Bridge, missed completely, ended up just dangling from the bottom of the thing. Took me 3 hours. I just sat there waving at passing boats. They just waved back. I was like, no, save me.
I like the fact, I like the feeling that this is actually a lot more accurate as to what a Spider-Man would do, because when was the last time you saw a spider doing anything basically other than just sitting there on a web? Spiders don't go swinging across between buildings.
He'd build a massive web and wait for criminals to come by.
they don't go swinging even between very short spaces.
I like the fact that apparently for about a 2 minute section of the show, the audience watched as Spider-Man hung motionless above the audience whilst a tech with a broom attempted to poke him hard enough that he could grab onto the next handle and continue the act, which I think is wonderful. You know, again, that Spider-Man would need an assistant with a broom who could come along in his powerboat and sort of go poke, and he'd be like, no, not good enough. Poke me harder. There's the rest of the San Francisco Bay to cover here, mate.
Spider-Man and his psychic broom man.
Broom man. Broom man poking things when they're a bit stuck. We've got to work on the theme music.
But apparently though most of the stunts went off without a hitch, with children and some adults squealing in delight.
But everybody remembers Broom Man. he's gonna be the breakout spin-off from the Spider-Man musical. Broom Man's getting his own show.
going a bit closer to home, Norwich. A man driving a mobility scooter has been fined for crashing into barriers at a Tesco store. He tried to leave the store after abusing staff, but approached the entrance rather than exit barrier and then drove his scooter into it.
Worst getaway ever. Mobility scooter, 8 miles an hour, can be stopped by supermarket barrier thingamajig. Just no. don't start robbing banks. Don't quit the day job, except for you're a pensioner, so you haven't got a day job. Your day job is, in fact, abusing kids in Tesco. So do quit your day job. Why not consider robbing banks?
Hey, at least get the police something more to do besides student protests.
You swore we wouldn't mention them.
I didn't swear that we wouldn't mention them. I said we wouldn't go into them.
Oh, man.
We can mention the fact that they exist.
All right.
That's a statement of fact rather than opinion.
But we can't say they're rubbish.
Or we can't say that we're good.
Or they're good, yeah.
Just we are entirely negative. Negative, neutral.
Could we hypothesise about a theoretical radio show on a station with less stringent anti-political positions on which we might be saying stuff?
No. It's just like a super injunction. We're not even to that to speculate.
God,
But moving
most
on.
Impressive radio station ever.
Well, moving on, we've got... We've got another person who we might say is not perhaps the smartest of the bunch, who got on Twitter. The username is The Ashes, and so they got a lot of tweets from people about The Ashes, which are on in Australia, as you might know if you've managed to stay up overnight to listen to them. Although apparently I hear we're doing quite well, which is nice and makes a change. But the best thing about the story is she. Ashley Kirkes decided to set the record straight by shouting, by which I mean typing in caps, I am not a freaking cricket match.
But there's a million... You don't get to say that every day.
No.
I'm not a cricket match, but nobody cares when I say it.
But also she said, my boyfriend gave me the nickname years ago, maybe because of the cricket match tournament. We don't remember. He's been calling me the Ashes forever. I might be jumping to conclusions here, but might the nickname have come from the fact your name is Ashley, and The Ashes is not an unreasonable thing to take from that.
Yeah, you just thought, you know, you're broadcasting the thing to the whole world. You know, the Guardian sat there sort of going, well, it's a slow news day. You know, you want to watch out for that sort of thing. our station manager came up with a wonderful term for her particular level of intellectual prowess, but we can't say it on the radio. But think of what, you know, think of the most obvious term for somebody of that particular intelligence, then guess again, then one more time, then make it a bit worse. Now you're there.
Keep with the sport theme. We've got the football team that's probably the worst in Britain. Conceded 227 goals in 11 straight games, including 155-0.
I'm no expert, Michael, but I believe that's some bad football.
55-0 is a goal, more than a goal every 2 minutes.
Yeah, impressive.
And considering when a goal is scored against you, you get the football halfway down the pitch.
I thought you were just going to say you get the football. maybe that's what they're doing, you know, like every time a goal gets scored, they're just nicking the ball. it's just a racket to sell to Intersport.
But the standing manager has praised his players for at least turning up. The other thing that I like is apparently they're not actually at the bottom of their league because another team in their league failed to turn up to one of the matches that they'd organised and so got docked points in addition to losing it.
I'll just sat around the pub going, I feel like we're supposed to be doing something. Well, no, we don't usually get to watch the football on TV, but why?
I think the fact that I feel like we should be doing something. Well, some people would say that they weren't really doing it very well at all.
Is they just stand on the pitch going, I feel like I should be at home watching TV.
On the pitch is going, I feel like I should be doing something. Oh, dear. Little bit of time for a couple of more. People who have opted out of Street View in Google Street View in Germany have apparently had their homes pelted with eggs.
Yes, indeed. I heard tomatoes earlier, but well, maybe a bit of both. Yeah,
maybe it was an omelette got thrown at one of the houses.
In which case, that was probably a donation. You know, there's no sort of attack happened here. Just a clumsily
delivered omelette,
a clumsy gift of omelette.
Perhaps they ordered omelette instead of pizza.
Google has the strangest mafia ever. It would appear.
We respect people's rights to move their house from Street View and by no means consider this to be acceptable behaviour. which to me sounds like a little bit like we respect their right to remove it, but we don't believe that it's acceptable behaviour to remove their house from Street View.
Well, it's presumably this is like the fifth draft of this press release, where the first one was what?
Whereas I think that what they actually wanted to be saying was that they don't consider throwing omelettes at people's houses to be acceptable behaviour, rather than saying that they don't think that removing their house from Street View is acceptable behaviour.
Yes. I mean, the real lesson is, if you're delivering an omelette, call ahead. Don't just throw it from the van and hope that this person will open their door, mouth agape, and go, omelette,
And finally, some bad news to all you romantics out there. If you are going to buy everything from the 12 days of Christmas for your loved ones, the prices are up this year by 10%. The entire lot of birds and lords leaping and ladies dancing will apparently cost you £62,258.
Do we know how they put a figure on lords? They're going to need to hire 10 lords.
I don't know. Perhaps
and ask them to leap. And who do you phone when you say, I need some lords and I need them to leap? I need bouncy nobility.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea.
There must be some contractor out there. It's possible they set one up, I suppose, for the specific purpose. It's like, you know, Dave the journalist sort of went, it's a slow news day, Fred the journalist set up a lord hiring service, and Fred the journalist did, and now we have a story.
Okay, so now that's our roundup on predictions for next week's news. I think that other wildfowl will start complaining and demand to be taken first class rather than just swans.
I think that Chris's Elevated Nobility Corporation will share value will leap by about a eighth of a pence as the one order from Lords of Leaping comes in from the Guardian news desk.
And I think that people will continue to be idiots in snow-filled areas.
They may just continue being idiots whilst the areas are free to change. All right, this has been Burst the Bubble. I've been Chris Moden.
I've been Michael Quintario.
And we will leave you to whatever it is that Cam FM is doing next.